studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Pregnant pause because the music for whatever reason seems to fade us out or fade us in or it fades us. Anyways, it's a fadey thing. And anyways, welcome to the program.
Yeah, welcome. Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the program. You can join us, by the way. Cliff, how can people join us?
They could join us by just dropping by 646-721-9887. That's the telephone number to call. You could join us doing that. 646-721-9887, or you know, go on the teletype. Yeah, right.
Yeah, go on the teletype. Remember the teletypes?
I remember teletypes. I used to type on a teletype when I was in the military.
I thought they looked cool. They looked like they were doing something. It's like those calculators, you know, where you gave it a long number just to watch everything.
Just to watch it work.
Just to watch it work. 646-721-9887, and, of course, emails are always welcome, talk@krbnradio.com. If you happen to be one of those thousands of people that listen to the program on the archives and a few of you guys that decide not to, you can still participate. The chat room is open, by the way, right now. You can join us there, too, at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and sometimes we even update those, so, you know, once a month, check us out.
Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, you know, it's a 20th century social network type.
Yeah, see, I stay away from those. I don't know why. Facebook, I actually have a Facebook account. I think it's been a year and a half since I actually entered anything to it or looked at it, but I have one. And Twitter, I'm not sure. I think I have a Twitter account, too.
Yeah, so there you go, folks. Don't waste your time, you know, going to Cliff's Facebook page because he doesn't look at it. Of course, then again, he doesn't look at anything. He doesn't even answer his emails or telephone, so.
I do answer my email. The last email you emailed me, I didn't see. And I went back and looked. I had all the stuff that I had, you know, deleted from there. I didn't really delete it. I just set it aside. And I didn't see it in there either.
Yes.
I don't know why.
Yeah. It's, I know when I've been snubbed. Anyway, 646-721-9887 is open line Saturday. We can talk about what you want to talk about until you either communicate with us in some form or another. We're going to talk about what we want to talk about, and we have a small list of things that we want to talk about, and hopefully you want to talk about it too.
There you go.
Don't ask me to repeat.
Don't do that again, eh?
And some of the things on my short list, we're going to talk a little bit about Joe Biden and his numerous, well, he's Joe Biden, what can I say? And we're also going to touch a little bit. I guess we got some earth-shaking news from literally the earth shaking, Cliff.
Yeah, a couple of them. As a matter of fact, yesterday there was a report of, I think, two or three earthquakes and hundreds of aftershocks. And then today there was another one, and it's two hours ago now. It was an hour ago when I talked to you first. But a 4.1 earthquake just 2 hours ago, and 5.1 earthquake was the highest one yesterday. So it's just something that you want to consider. What's going on? There's also some report. I didn't get the verbiage for it, but one of our mountains in Washington State is rumbling as well. So, you know, we don't know. This state of Washington hasn't had a major earthquake in a long time, and we're due for one. We are due, definitely, for one. But
how long ago was St. Helens?
Well, that wasn't really I guess it was, wasn't it? But that, yeah, that's St. Helens is a major. That wasn't, how long ago was that? It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. Speaking of, by the way, as I'm doing a search for it, there's this kind of a cool website. It's called earthquake.usgs.gov. GOV, and it's I don't know if it's real time or not, but it's showing where some of these earthquakes are going in the United States, and there's a couple of them off California, and I guess one off, can't tell if it's Oregon or Washington yet, I just opened it up, and a couple in the mid-U.S.
Hmm. Well, this one in California today was just 5 miles east of downtown. I mean, it was quite a ways in, and it's 4.1. Now, 4.1, if it's not that far away, is pretty heavy-duty. If it's a long ways away from you, which most of them usually are, it's no big thing. But 4.1 at 5 miles east of downtown, a lot of people felt it. The one yesterday, they felt, and, you know, it's interesting because yesterday I saw a thing about it, and they said, well, it wasn't much damage to anything because it was only a 5.1. Today, however, they on television decided to show all the damage. So maybe there was a little bit more than they thought originally.
Well, it's amazing how much, like I said, looking at this map, how many earthquakes there actually are going on. Especially,
oh, yeah. People don't realize that they're going on all the time. The plates around Washington under the ocean there, and there's, let's see, right, I'm trying to think of where they were, but there's this, plates that are rattling right in the middle of Washington State, too, that they're looking at and thinking about and getting a little bit scared about, I guess. But, you know, because there's nothing you can do about an earthquake. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah. In fact, as if we're speaking, another one just happened in California. It was just updated. And what's really kind of cool about this, it gives the longitude and latitude of it and the severity of it. And the one that just happened is 4.1 to 2 kilometers southeast of Roland Heights in California.
That's the one I was telling you about, yeah.
And it's 3.962 degrees north, 117.885 degrees west. So if you're looking for an earthquake, that's how you can find it.
Well, the thing is, if you're looking for an earthquake, you'll probably find one close to you all the time because it's amazing how often they happen. And most of them are small, and we don't notice them, and we don't care, but they are happening. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess, zooming out, I don't see any in Oregon yet, although they were talking about Mount Hood getting a little pick up yesterday.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, you know, even though they happen to be a small earthquake, you've got to go out and inspect things, public dams, bridges, rail tracks, other infrastructure systems for size of damage, because you never can tell. And it, you don't definitely don't want to have your train, be on a train rolling along at 90 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, oh, my God, I saw an earthquake hit day before yesterday, and we didn't bother to look at it, and it wiped out a track. You know, that can make a mess. I don't know how they do that to check and make sure the continuity of the track. I mean, of course, the fact that there was probably a train past there later yesterday. But I mean, how do they know that there's not a?
Well, they actually got. I've seen some of the equipment, and it's kind of, well, it looks sci-fi-ish, but
yeah, pretty sophisticated.
Yeah, it's pretty long, and it scans the tracks pretty good. I don't know the intricacy of it. I just know that, you know, it's like a, I was going to say a small train, but it is kind of interesting to watch it go down the tracks and do its thing, however it does it.
Yeah. Well, that and the tracks are actually connected together. I mean, if you had, if you want to look at them, they don't necessarily look like they're touching each other, the pieces of track, but they've got little wires down along the bottom of them, so they are connected together. So I guess they would know almost immediately if there was a literal break in the track.
Yeah.
Thank God. I mean, they've been doing this for a while. Railroads have been around for, what, a couple hundred years?
Yeah, for a while. It's kind of like a, well, it'll be around for a while until like typewriters, they're replaced by computers.
Well, I don't know, because, you know, you say everything can be replaced by something, like, and I pretty much agree with you, but there's not much of anything that can carry the kind of payload that the railroads do. I mean, they carry huge payloads, for very little money because of the fact that they're all on a track, and it's so, I don't know, it's...
Well, the track may be replaced by monorail, may be replaced by what they call the levitation stuff, or maglifts, and, you know, so running down on two metal tracks that have to be so precisely spaced from each other, and you know, you never know.
Well, I that's true, but I can still consider, I still consider that railroad tracks, you know, those. The monorail thing is still railroad tracks. We've had monorails around for a long time, and they haven't really caught on. I mean, how long? We've had the one in Seattle up here at the Seattle Center for, God, I can't tell you how many years, 60s was when it came in. And they just haven't, there's a, every once in a while I hear of a new monorail that's being installed or built or something, but I don't think I've heard of more than 10 of them in the entire United States.
Well, I see all that's a moot point anyways, because they're going to be replaced by matter transporters.
I hope so. I want. I'd like to have me in a matter transporter. So much quicker, so much easier.
But would you be willing to die to transport from one place to another?
Mm-hmm.
Because actually, you know, in theory, and they are, you know, it sounds sci-fi, but they actually are getting there, by the way, as computers get smarter. So in order for you to transport, like Star Trek, from one place to another, they literally have to tear you apart, atom by atom, which in a sense kills you and make an exact copy, and then put you back together by combining some other type of matter and reassembling the molecules, and hopefully everything is put back in the exact same state it was taken apart, and you don't know any difference except for the fact that your original body is gone.
Well, you know, I know what you're saying, and I understand, but when you put a box in there, just a plain old box, and you transport it from one place to another, you get a plain old box.
Right.
And it's the same plain old box and has all the same flaws and all the same points and everything that the box you put in there did. It's not exactly like the box you put in there. It is the box you put in there. And I'm not sure I agree with this idea of tearing me apart to do that. I'm not sure that's exactly what happens. They can say they think it is, but I'm not sure it is, because that box that they put in there, and this is not something that they've thought of, they've done this before many, many times. And so I'm just not sure I quite agree with the idea that I'm being torn apart, torn asunder.
Well, they have to do something with you and tear it down by atom by atom. Otherwise, they have a copy of you, and now there's two of you. And so every time they transport you, now there's another copy of you, and then pretty soon there's going to be a whole town called Clifton.
There is one, but there, by the way. Clifton, New Jersey.
Yes, and we're overrun by cliffs.
Yep.
With one F.
Well, that's true. Clifton, New Jersey is with one F, but they don't mention that fact.
Yes. Anyways, from earthquakes to duplication, 646-721-9887, if you'd like to get in on this. We had one person already check in and out of the chat room, so... I would like to say again, Blog Talk Radio has been making some changes to their system. Unfortunately, you still have to have a membership, per se, even though it's free, to chat in the chat room. If you're a guest, you can only watch what's going on, and if you're the only guest in there, unless I'm talking, it's a one-way conversation, but in which case, it's a one-way conversation anyways, because you're not calling us at 646-721-9887.
I wanted to mention another thing. Just, this is really,
yes,
more of a,
go ahead.
More of a rant and rave than anything else. In Sochi, I mean, you remember Sochi? We just had this big, what was it? We had there something. Anyway, in Sochi, so everybody knows about Sochi, but they've taken Sochi is in Russia, in case you didn't know, just to make sure you understood, and they've taken. The animals in Sochi, they had a lot of dogs hanging around, and people talked about it. People mentioned it, and people emailed people and talked to people about these animals that are running around, the dogs specifically. And the people in Sochi, the Sochi Animal Rescue Organizations, have to get them. They started bringing the dogs in from the streets. They took them off the streets so that people weren't being harassed by them. I don't think they were being harassed like bad, but you know, like dogs. You know, dogs are bigger, so they want food. Here I am, feed me.
Yeah, just like politicians.
Yeah. But anyway, the point is, they've rounded up all these dogs, and now they're sending them to us. They're sending them to the United States. And I'm not sure why we sat back and said, okay, we'll take them. I mean, that's ridiculous. We don't have enough dogs of our own, enough of them, especially even running around with no people. I mean, we've got dogs around here that have no people. And they're bad enough as it is. That and cats. We have cats, too, that are not so many cats anymore, I think, unfortunately.
So how are the dogs getting over here? And are they legal dogs or are they illegal dogs?
They're illegal dogs. They were illegal dogs until they brought them over here, and the people in the United States accepted them. The Humane Society and National worked out both projects, and they're bringing 10 dogs to the United States. Now, these 10 dogs are they're representative of some of the ones that have been removed from the streets in Sochi. Mm-hmm. And they put them in an animal shelter here, and they're taking care of them. And we've got 10 extra dogs in the United States. Now, I don't understand why we're doing this. Why? I mean, this is not the dog's fault. Don't get me wrong. This is people's fault. These are people in the United States. We've got some real, I don't want to call them names, but stupid people in the United States that are, we don't need more dogs. We don't need any more dogs. And it's not going to make any difference because, you know, we're going to have so many dogs that pretty soon we're going to be sending them back. So, I don't know. I just saw this thing here.
Well, you know what it is, though.
What?
When we reach 11 million dogs.
We'll make them citizens. Okay. All right. So much for the dogs. Place has gone to the dogs.
It has. And speaking of, good lead-in, by the way. Speaking of dogs and 11 million, which is a number that it's interesting that it was originally around 20 million and how it's dropped down to 11 million. And we, from time to time, or should I say most of the time, criticize the big O up there in Washington, D.C., when he's actually in Washington, D.C., which is not very often. But we don't hear too much about his underling, Joe Biden, who I think is they're prepping him for...
to run for president in 2016.
And then they're thinking probably that, okay, well, we go ahead and elect Joe, and then they can do what they did in Oregon to exceed the two-term limit with our governor, for example. After his last term, he skips a year or he skips a term, then he's able to run again. So I think that's the theory. But in either case, Joe Biden made the news recently on several things. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi, who is, I don't know what country she's for, but I don't think it's ours, couldn't resist the urge to open her mouth and stick her feet in it. Basically, I'm trying to find the exact quote here. Do, 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 do.
Well, if you're trying to find the Nancy Pelosi quote, I don't know if they have them. she really, speaking of sticking your feet in it, she really does all the time. My God, anything that's off the wall, she stands up and says, oh, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Exactly. Remember, she was the one that really pushed for Obamacare. And as they're saying, well, no, Obama doesn't want the single-payer system. Well, yeah, he does. He Ken and Nancy Pelosi both said that in the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, so what my computer's running slow, but what else is new? But Joe Biden said they put his foot in his mouth, and I think Nancy Pelosi, I think they share feet, I don't know. Anyways, was referring to illegal immigrants as being American citizens. And he was saying that, and he's trying to quote Teddy Roosevelt. He says, this is Biden, says, you know, 11 million people living in the shadows, I believe they're already American citizens. Teddy Roosevelt said it better. He said, Americanism is not a question of birthplace or creed or a line of descent. It's the question of principles, idealism, and character. These people are just waiting for a chance to be able to contribute fully. And by that standard, 11 million undocumented persons are already in America, in my views. Now, several problems with that is that there's a lot of people here that are here illegally that don't share Joe Biden's thing. In fact, a few of them are kind of going, why do I want to come out of the shadows? I'm making money. I don't have to pay taxes. Doesn't come under the requirements of Obamacare. You know, I get anything I want anyways, and why go through and be a citizen, and et cetera?
Well, the biggest thing I find that is a major problem with all of this is the fact that the kids are the ones that are catching the brunt of the whole thing. Kids, a lot of kids are here, and they're not here by their own volition. They didn't ask to come here. Their parents came here and decided to do something and decided to stay and whatever. I understand, too, that we do have an awful lot of kids in the United States that are living with somebody else because they've sent their parents back to the whatever country they're from. This is all a big, big, big mistake. I think it's a big error. And I'm not sure that I'm quite ready to declare 11 million undocumented aliens as Americans, in my view. But we need to do something about it. I agree with that.
Yeah, exactly. And I wish I had the quote that they're playing on the radio a couple of days ago, which was done in the Bush era. It was called 8 Things to Destroy the United States. And being the fact it was recorded like 10 years ago, it describes today, what's going on today as far as, just everything. But anyways, let me correct Joe Biden here for a moment, getting back to that. And his quote from Teddy Roosevelt. The exact quote is, by the way, and this was President Roosevelt's thoughts on immigration is written in a letter to the American Defense Society in 1919, 10 years after his presidency. It says, and I'm quoting, "In the first place, we should insist that if the immigrant who comes here in good faith becomes an American and assimilates himself to us, he shall be treated on an exact equality with everyone else, and for it is an outrage to discriminate against such man because of creed or birthplace or origin. But this is present upon the person becoming in every facet an American and nothing but an American. There can be no divided alliance here. Any man who says he's an American but something else also isn't an American at all. We have room for but one flag, the American flag. We have room for but one language here, and that's the English language. We have room for but one sole loyalty, and that's the loyalty to the American people." Unquote.
That's an interesting quote, and I agree with parts of it. I disagree with parts of it. The idea of having no second nation involved, in other words, Italian-American or Spanish-American or all that sort of thing, I don't believe that divides your allegiance in any case. It's just identifying you were not born in the United States. That's all that's doing. And if that's the case, it's just adding to a little information about who you are. But your allegiance should be here to the United States. If you're going to be here, you can't have allegiance to both countries.
I think that was his point.
Yeah, that is his point. But to just say you can't even say it is it going a little too far, I think.
Right.
It's a possibility that you see a lot of people do that. A lot of people, a lot of people have allegiance to two countries, and you can't. And I've got to consider the fact that our world is changing.
No.
Our world is getting so much smaller, and it's getting to the point that you might have to do that one of these days. And you can't be you have to be a citizen of the world.
Well, and speaking of citizens of the world, let's see what this citizen of the world here has to say on area code 541. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Robin.
I say
Joe
again?
Ray.
Oh, hi,
Joe
Ray.
Hi there. Let me come over here. There we go.
There we go.
Now you can hear me.
Now
so
I can hear you.
You can hear me over some of the road noise. Well, I just wanted to give a quick shout out. So what's your topic du jour?
Du jour, huh?
My du jour.
The topic of the day.
Yeah. Speaking of topic du jour, it's almost like I should be eating it.
I'm sorry to hear that. What was
I just
talking about the world getting smaller.
Yes, it is. The world is. It's actually the idea of what we are doing. Our part of it is getting smaller. Everybody's going to be one big lump of people. I mean, you're not going to be able to say I'm from Spain or from England or. It's just because all of those places are all getting together. The United States is one huge place getting together. It's going to be just one big country, one big place. And it's not hard at all to work in the United States and England at the same time. I mean, the transportation has gotten so much better and so much faster and made it impossible to be that separated. I don't know if I can go along with that philosophy myself.
Well, and like we were just talking about Joe Biden's comments, I was going to also follow up with what Nancy Pelosi had to say about Joe Biden's comment was basically, as far as he was concerned, that 11 million illegal immigrants are already Americans.
Right.
and Nancy Pelosi is also sticking her foot in her mouth, in my opinion, saying she desperately wants to pass the new immigration laws this year and implied that she would sacrifice more seats in the House to do it. She says, I believe it's more important to pass comprehensive immigration reform to me and to my caucus than to win election in November. Yeah, like we won her. But it kind of tells you, well, again, just where she stands, like as if everybody doesn't know.
Well, so this is Joe Ray Perkins running for the U.S. Senate here in Oregon. And I can understand where both Biden and Pelosi are coming from. There are people who have lived here who consider themselves to be citizens of the United States, but they're not American citizens. So citizen is that they live here, but they are not a legal citizen. There are an illegal, or there are 11 million illegal citizens. So the question begs, to what purpose would Nancy Pelosi say, oh, well, I don't care about us winning elections and holding the House or gaining back the House. She doesn't really believe that. Start off with, we're talking Nancy Pelosi here. And I will actually agree with Nancy. We do need massive immigration reform. I sat down one day to read through the Immigration Act and went, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to hide away for at least a week just to get past the first page. The rabbit trails are insane. There's so many different references just on page one. So, yes, immigration reform is needed. The question is, what kind of immigration reform is that? Where every time the government attempts to do something, they make a bigger mess out of what is already going on. We see that in so many different areas. So, amazingly enough, I will agree with Nancy that we do need comprehensive immigration reform. Let me give you an example. I met a young man a few months ago. His heritage is from India. His culture, arranged marriage. He's in his 20s. He had an arranged marriage. He got married. His bride is still residing in India. It's going to take in the neighborhood of 3 years before he can get her here.
Uh-huh.
Now, that doesn't make sense to me. It's a cultural difference. They are married. And he's a U.S. citizen, and she is not. She's a citizen of India. So there's a change that needs to be made. Let's make that kind of a change so that people that are legitimately married can bring their spouses here to the United States to live with them.
I disagree wholeheartedly, just absolutely wholeheartedly, because, again, that goes back to everybody's going to get married to somebody just so they can come to the country. That's not the way we do it. You've got to have a little bit more involved in that. You've got to be more involved in what you're doing. You've got to be more ingrained in the idea that you're an American than that. We've got everybody and their brother or sister are going to be here on a wedding visa. Wedding.
But it's a cultural it's a cultural difference between the way that Americans see things and somebody else. Now, he is an American citizen. He's lived in the country for years and years, and it's been a long-held tradition of an arranged marriage. I know another couple, both in India, arranged marriage. I believe that Joe was a U.S. citizen. I'm not 100% sure at the time of their marriage. I know they got married in India. But it was an arranged marriage, and they're extremely happily married. So because we see things differently, and because it's proven that this was a long-term arrangement, this is not just a spur of the moment where, you know, this is who you're going to get married, you're getting married next week. So this is a woman that he's had a long-term relationship with for a couple of years. So not somebody that he just met married. So a little different than your mail order bride, which amazingly enough, people have an easier time from what I've seen of getting a mail order bride to the United States than they do of somebody that they think that they're going to marry. So it's a cultural difference. We have people that come here legitimately on work visas, but we're not following up on their work visas or on their student visas, and they're overstaying. They're welcome. So here's the big problem. And Cliff, you mentioned something.
That's a lot different, however, than marrying someone and making them a citizen. That's a different story. I mean,
eventually she would become a United States citizen. But she can't get here. That's the problem. And she's legitimately married. So that's where the challenge is. So, yes, there needs to be reform. The other issue that we have...
Before we leave this, you say legitimately married. That doesn't mean anything if they're in a different country. I mean, some countries you turn around three times and say, I marry you, I marry you, I marry you, and it's done. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's not legitimately married, as far as I'm concerned.
But they're legitimately married according to the laws of the country in which they're married in.
Right, and that doesn't work.
Certainly it does. If the United States recognizes that marriage, then it's a recognized marriage. So, again, sure, we're talking a cultural difference. So we have Muslims that come here legally. They become U.S. citizens. They got married in an Islamic nation, and they got married according to their religious values, which in Islam is one of those countries where they declare that they are married. It is not a government-sanctioned, quote-unquote, event. It is a religious event, and that's part of the differences.
Yeah, and I disagree with that. I disagree with that wholeheartedly, because that doesn't mean anything. I mean, religious event, marriage.
But it doesn't mean anything to you, but it means something to them.
But wait a minute. It doesn't mean anything to the American government, the United States government.
If the U.S. government recognizes that marriage, absolutely it does.
Well, then we should change that. There should not be any marriage.
So this couple... their marriage is recognized by the United States, even though they got married in India. It's just going to take, because the immigration laws, it's going to take around 3 years to get her here because of all of the red tape. They're willing to do it because they're married and they want to be together. It's just an instance where there needs to be some changes. then we've got people that come here over the border illegally. They come in illegally. They stay illegally. So you mentioned about Europe and the European Union, where you can travel freely from country to country over in Europe. You can go from Spain to Norway, to Germany, to France, and you're considered a citizen of Europe. So now the question is, do we want that same thing in the United States, and what would it look like? So let's talk about immigration borders here the national borders here in the United States. When Clinton signed the NAFTA agreement, the free trade, quote-unquote free trade, which does not mean free trade, the free trade pact between Canada, the United States, and Mexico, what they were setting up was the door to be flung wide open to create the North American Union. So when you hear the political officials in Washington, D.C. say, oh, yeah, we're going to secure the borders until we have a major change in D.C., the truth of the matter is they're not going to, because there are those people who are the globalists who want to have a North American Union. So they will speak out their mouth saying that, yes, they want to secure that they're going to secure the borders, but their actions speak much louder. So what does that look like for us? What that looks like for us, and we're already seeing it, the UN being involved in our laws, is that we're losing our national sovereignty, and we've got to fight against that.
Yeah, because we have a right to say who we allow into the country. And I agree with you in a sense that if a person legitimately wants to come through the door, let's make the process a little bit easier. But people that want to come through the window, you can't respect them.
Right. So come here legitimately, according to the laws. I actually met a lady from Roseburg a couple months ago. She moved here legitimately, legally, from Mexico. She became a United States citizen. And I asked Carmen, I said, what should be done? And she said, send them back to their country. You know, and she was speaking specifically of people of Mexico. She said, they came here illegally. They need to get in the back of the line. They need to pay their back taxes and get in line like everybody else. Now, I would allow them back in, back of the line, make reparations to the country if you've been getting any sort of government assistance, pay that back. You can come here on a permanent visa, but you may not have citizenship because you came here illegally.
Exactly. Now, I have people that I have friends that same thing. They came here through the front door. And they feel the exact same way, is that they spend a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort to come over here, including, you know, especially later in life to learn a second language is not easy, you know, by any means, especially our language. And they feel the same way, is that they feel cheated. You know, why should I go ahead and do this when so-and-so over here doesn't have to do any of this, doesn't even have to even learn the language, and people are bending over backwards for them.
But then
I'll ask the question is, like Biden and like others that are really pushing for this, what are they really getting out of it? I mean, if they want to make people, if they want to make people citizens, well, then all of a sudden you brought, you know, all that cheap labor, quote unquote, just went to the wayside because now you're paying at least minimum wage guaranteed.
Right.
So what are they getting out of it?
What they're getting out of it is because the Latinos don't know and understand that most Latinos are very family-oriented. That's number one to them. They don't understand the difference. They think that we are a democracy and not a republic. If they understood that we live in a republic and not a democracy, they would more than likely, amazingly enough, register as a Republican. They don't know, and because officials from the Republican Party do not go to the swearing-in meeting when they become U.S. citizens, representatives from the Democrat Party are there. That's how they end up registering Democrats. So the Democrats' liberal agenda are banking on the Latino immigrants who become U.S. citizens registering as Democrat to keep them in power. That's what they're banking on. And so far, they've been right.
I don't think they're going to be this time. I think it's going to be a mistake. I mean, people are not going to do that. But that's very unfortunate as far as I'm concerned. I would rather see us, you mentioned, if it could become one big country or one big area like the European Union, where you could go from country to country to country with no problem. If we could do that in the United States, Canada, and Mexico, that would be great. But you have to equalize the money situation in Mexico first. I mean, you can't do that and have people in Mexico making $2 an hour and people in the United States making $14 an hour. You can't accomplish something with that. You've got to do more equalization and work at that a lot, I won't say a lot longer, a lot harder at least, than we are doing.
It all sounds good on the surface, but in reality, we already know it doesn't work. The EU, the European Union, and with their euro, they've already proven it does not work. It doesn't work. And the other thing on the wages, see, the problem is that when your wages increase, somebody gets to pay for that increase. My first job, I got paid $1.65 an hour in 1972, and I paid 32 cents a gallon for gas. So now minimum wage in Oregon is $9.10 an hour, and I paid $4.20 a gallon for gas today. So
almost the same amount.
Pardon?
I say almost the same amount for gas,
$9. Yeah, so in order to those wage increases, it's not just the hourly. The employer is also paying a higher percentage on the wage on the federal tax, a higher dollar amount on federal tax, plus a higher dollar amount on Social Security, plus a higher dollar amount on the Medicare portion. So it's not just taking somebody from $9.10 an hour to $10.10 an hour. That extra $1 is costing that employer more than $8 a day, because they have to pay a higher comp and all of that. And they're going to pass it on to you and I, so nobody ever gets ahead. So if Mexico were to bring their wages into alignment, nobody would get ahead, and we would stay in a recession. Nobody would get ahead.
Well, the only one that really gets ahead is the local governments or federal government that receives the increase in taxes on it.
That's it. They're the only ones that might get ahead, and it's a microbit, because if unemployment stays high, because the employer's going, look, I cannot afford this extra cost, they will cut back hours of employees, or they will keep their employees on more hours and use less employees. So either way, we end up with people not getting ahead financially. It doesn't pencil, because they're married together. It doesn't mean that we go back to $1.65 an hour, but let's think about it. Our grandparents saved up money and paid cash for a home. When my father went into the Navy, he told me his pay was, $27 a month when he joined the Navy before World War II.
Well, and when you look at things, here's a good example of a cost. How much do you pay for your utilities each month?
For my electric bill, it's $150 a month, plus my gas bill, plus my water bill is for water and sewer in the city of Albany is about $90 a month. And my gas bill, I don't even know what we pay for gas, probably $100. We're paying $150, $90, $250, about $350 a month in utilities. That doesn't include our cell phone. We won't talk about that bill.
Yeah, exactly. I'm paying about $210 a month for water, electricity, and all the fees that go along with it, which makes up about 40 to 45% of my bill. And the point I'm making here is I remember when water used to cost me $7 to $10 a month, and electricity was $35 a month.
Right.
$200 to $300 a month is a huge chunk out of your bill if you are making $10, $12, $13, $14 an hour.
Well, we seem to be talking apples and oranges here, because the idea of your bill going up to $150 and it used to be $7, you're not paying for the same thing. You're paying for a lot more than you were originally when it was that amount of money. And we're a little bit off base here from what we originally started from, I think.
I'll talk about minimum wage increases. It's that, you know, it's real nice to say, and Joe Biden's coming out and saying this as well in the news recently, about increasing the federal minimum wage. But that's great. They're making minimum wage. Hey, I get a raise. But like Joe Ray's saying, where does the money come from? Well, we're paying for it, and that increases the goods, and it just goes across the board so that a little bit of an increase that they get, like say if it's a dollar an hour raise, is actually less because now you just devalued how much that dollar goes by increasing costs.
That would only work if you're talking about absolutely everybody involved. If everybody in the United States got that increase, that would be the case. But it's not everybody involved. It's just a small group of people that are getting that increase in wages.
But the minimum wage is not supposed to be a living wage to start off with. That is your entry level. Somebody gets paid. But the problem is that the employers are having to keep people at that wage because they can't afford to even make a profit after they pay all the regulatory fees and taxes to even pay more. And so the problem is that people end up spending less discretionary money. Let's take eating out. $2.50 for a cup of coffee at your local restaurant. Well, before the minimum wage started kicking in, that $2.50 cup of coffee was a buck. Who's paying for that? You and I do. So what ends up happening is because everything else is going up, we don't eat out as much. So we don't eat out as much. The restaurants don't need as many employees on because they don't have as many customers coming in. So those employees aren't making as much money, and people are crying the blues. Minimum wage, so the amount of money that somebody gets paid should be, one, not a federal government issue. I don't see where that's in the Constitution. Number one, it's a states' rights issue. Number two, it is an unwritten contractual agreement, a verbal agreement between the employer and the employee. If the employer offers to the employee to work for $10 an hour, and the employee says, yes, I will work for that, then that is the legitimate agreed upon that the employee is willing to work for and the employer is willing to pay. That's the free market. That's how it should work. If the employer and the employee get to determine how much they want to work for. If the employer says, hey, I'm going to hire a bunch of people at $5 an hour, and he can't get or she can't get anybody to kind of work for him at $5 an hour, then he has to raise his wages in order to entice people to come to work for him. That's how it's supposed to work.
But in this country, in this state of economy that we're in, you will find somebody, because there are hundreds of thousands and thousands of people out of work who would be willing to work for $5 an hour if necessary, anything to have some money coming in. And I believe that minimum wage is a necessity in a way, but it needs to be reevaluated as to how it's figured.
And you just proved my point, is that there are people who would be willing to work for that. The problem is that the employers can't afford to hire more employees. They would, but the government keeps forcing them to increase their salaries. They cannot hire more people because they hit that point of diminishing return. They can't afford it. So they have to get more work out of fewer employees, which in itself is not a bad thing, but yet it diminishes also the employees' quality of life as far as, you know, it can't diminish their quality of life. The point is that the employer is stuck because it's going, I can't afford to do this, and I could make more, you know. They hit that point.
Well, and speaking of, because I used to be an employer, I know a lot of people are very hesitant in having employees to begin with, because as soon as you cross that threshold, you're immediately having to deal with like SAFE and other workers' comp insurance, which is a ripoff to begin with. matching Social Security, matching all these other things you got to match. So that $10 an hour employee costs the employer $12, $13 an hour. And
at least, Robin. So my husband, to hire somebody through Labor Ready, if he pays them $10 an hour, it is now costing over $18 an hour. Labor Ready is going to make some money. But because of the increase in cost and the letter that we got from them at the end of the year, it was because of the Affordable Care Act, we have to increase our cost to the employees or to the companies that hire through us to cover the cost of health insurance for the employees. So now it ends up costing more money.
I agree. On the phone with us right now is Joe Ray Perkins, running for U.S. Senate. And you can call us right now, 646-721-9887, if you'd like to ask her a question or contribute to the program.
And I will apologize for all this road noise. I am headed down to Roseburg, so suddenly I go away because I'm on I-5. And we'll say that I'm using my Bluetooth. I'm driving legally.
That's right, officer.
Well, I'm sort of confused as to where our conversation has led us at the moment, so I'm lost.
Well, you talked about when I got on, you guys were talking about the one world, and that is what a lot of people are headed, or the globalists want. The people that are involved in the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Union, Bilderberg, they want a global society where we are governed. And that is exactly the opposite of what our founders said. Remember, they wanted to get away from that global society. The old saying that the sun never set on the British Empire because the sun never set on the British Empire because it was so big. And the founders were very, very clear. They went through that of having an overarching government that would tax them with no representation and tell them how to live their lives, although they were not there in the local region. You know, they were across the Atlantic Ocean. So why would we want to go back to what we already know does not work? It makes no sense to do that. We have, in this country, our 50 states. So if each state is a sovereign unto itself under the umbrella of the federal government, and the role of the federal government is A, to protect our borders, and B, to enter into negotiations and treaties with foreign governments so that we basically portray for enforcement and export, not for everything else that we've gotten into. So the question comes, what would be the benefit to Americans that live in a one-world government?
Well, and to throw it out there, too, we live in a dangerous world. I know it's easy to forget that living here in the U.S. because we are kind of isolated from a lot of the reality, which is why the bubble wrap society is that, you know, versus Shangri-La, you know, where we're all holding hands singing Kumbaya, you know, we have to protect ourselves because there are people around the world that would like to destroy us.
But we can't live in a little bubble, but we're all by ourselves. I mean, we've got to be a part of the world. It's if we try to wrap ourselves in this little styrofoam bubble or plastic bubble and live by ourselves, we don't have the resources and the ability to do that. So consequently,
actually,
we've got to be.
We do. I think we do have the resources. It's not about being isolationist. There's as long as we are conducting import-export trade with other countries in a manner that makes sense and is beneficial to all concerned, then that makes sense. But to end up into a one global society, we would end up under tyranny, under a fascist regime, where we would look like probably something like under China, like China under Mao, or under like East Germany used to look, where you, and parts of Russia, where you don't get to decide what it is that you're going to be, to do for a living. you're told what you're going to do for a living, and that's so cursed in China and Russia. You know, all you do is take a look at the Olympics, and you can tell that these are well-honed athletes, because that's what they're raised to do. They know nothing else.
Right. Finish your thought.
I was going to say, there's a gentleman who, before the wall came down in East Berlin, had gone to East Berlin, and these three young ladies, teenagers, recognized him. He was a Westerner, and they struck up a conversation with him. So he walked around the city with them, and at the end of the day, as he was heading back to exit the wall, to go on the other side of the wall, they stopped. They go, "We cannot go any farther. If we go any farther, we're going to be shot." So they knew how close they could get without their lives being in danger. But he asked the girls, he said, "When you grow up, what do you want to do?" Well, one girl said she wanted to be a teacher, one wanted to be a nurse, and I don't remember what the third one said, but the oldest of the three said, "It doesn't matter what it is that I want to do for a living. I will always be treated as a baby, as a child, because they will always tell me what to do."
Right.
And that's the reality of what we're looking at.
Just like the other reality is that, how many people do you know leave their front door unlocked all the time? Probably hardly any. And you ask the question, well, why do you do that? Well, is to protect the sanctity and security of your home.
Right.
You know, you go to the store, you purchase stuff, and that's your trade. You know, not being an isolist, but you know, you lock your door to control, you know, who's allowed in, who's not allowed in, and the people that break in are into the house or come through the house uninvited, they are the ones that are, well, you might say their enemy or whatever. But I guess I'm just losing my point. But I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, our country is our house.
Right.
And we don't want to leave the front door unlocked, because we want to know who comes into our house for our own protection. You know,
right.
We might give
we
a key.
We want to know, are they friend or are they foe?
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, this has been interesting.
I have a different philosophy. I would like to just work it out so that all my friends and I could leave the door open.
Yeah, but that's not reality.
That's not reality, but I'd like it to be. It's not reality because none of us try to do it. None of us try to make it a reality. It could be, but we don't try. And we don't try to look and take into consideration the needs and the wants of other people, like these three girls who were talking about. The thing is, they don't have the freedoms that we have. And what we need to do is worry about making the world more free for more people, and keeping on that route rather than trying to wrap it up in a silver lining.
Yeah, but that gets back to the same argument. If we can't help others unless we can help ourselves first.
And the question is what right do we have to go into a sovereign nation and tell them how to have their country? That is up for the citizens. We should remain to be a strong, militarily strong nation, where we are living by our Constitution, where we are definitely that light for other countries to see, and to encourage them, the citizens, to model and to work towards having those same types of freedoms. But instead, we are acquiescing and becoming more like what they want to run away from. I talked to people that have moved here from socialist countries, and they said, "Joe Ray, the people in America do not understand what they are doing. They are ending up as a social country, and that's what we left, because we want freedom." So, yes, they want freedom, then we need to continue to model that freedom and show other nations how to do that. But that doesn't mean that we go in there and tell them how to do it. The citizens have to decide that they want it, and then we come alongside once they've gotten to that point and help them work out plan of action.
And speaking of that, Joe Wright, how's the campaign going?
The campaign is going great. I every time we're in a candidate forum with all five of us, and sometimes not all of us there, I have more people coming up to me. I just got an email this week. We were over in Redmond a few weeks ago, and this young lady said, she said she had her mind made up that she was going to vote for one of the gentlemen. And she said, after I saw you and heard you speak, she said, you have that passion for this country that I'm looking for. I had a decorated World War II veteran come up to me after our Lake Oswego event where all five candidates were there. And this World War II veteran, a decorated veteran, Silver Star, Purple Heart recipient, says to me, you need to win. You have what it takes, a machine. You are not, you're clearly not the kind of person that will back down. We need you in Washington, D.C. And that's just two examples of what I get every time that we're in a candidate form. It's pretty amazing. So I go out there. I'm speaking as many places as I can. If people want to get a hold of me, they can go to my website, Perkins, P-N-Paul, E-R-K-I-N-S, FORUSSenate.com, or go to Oregon's next senator. It'll get you to the next same place. Send me an email. Ask me questions. We're working, and thank you, Robin, for all your assistance on making changes to the website and getting videos up. Hopefully tomorrow I'll get some more YouTube videos up, and we'll get those links to the website so that people can, and the videos are going to be full-length videos of candidate forms where they're going to be able to see the candidates. Initially, I wanted to chop them up, so it was just a question of me answering them, but I decided, you know, people really need to be able to see why I'm standing out and why people are changing their minds. So we're just going to start posting those up, and so they'll be up here and links to the website hopefully pretty quick. So I'll start uploading those tomorrow.
Does your website give a listing of where you're going to be in the next few times, next few days?
Yes, it does. It is pretty up-to-date. There's probably some more updating I need to do to it tomorrow, but it's pretty accurate. So tonight I'm going to be down in Roseburg at the Umpqua Valley Republican Women's Fundraising Dinner. Doors open in 30 minutes. So I'm speaking there tonight for a few minutes. I'm the only candidate speaking, which is nice for once. Every now and then it's nice to have the stage by yourself.
Do you take a question and answer period every place you stop?
Yes, I will answer any question that anybody asks. And if I don't know the answer, I don't know, but I'll find out. This is the thing that strikes me. I cannot remember the last time in a political, I don't remember the last time when we had so many huge issues facing our country simultaneously. Not since I've been an adult, not since I was 18 years old, so, and I'm 57, almost 58, so I, for 40 years of memory, I just can't recall. Somebody mentioned to me, sent me a message the other day, an email, they went, you don't have anything on the defense of marriage on your website. Oh my gosh, there's another issue. And in politics, the mantra has been, pick your top three and stick to them. The problem is there's more than three major issues facing our country. How do I pick what is more important than the other? So I actually put that on my Facebook page, and let me tell you the number one issue facing this country today. And it's great that I have friends and supporters who said, this is great, but you know what you missed. And they were 100% right. I corrected the posting, and this is what has happened. We have left our moral compass. This country was founded by men and women of great faith in God Almighty, the Creator. And when we turn our back on Him, we get what we've got. And it's a country full of problems, a country that is mathematically bankrupt, people that are trying to figure out how are they going to make ends meet, untold numbers of people living in poverty. We've got murders going on because people are so dissatisfied. We don't know what, but, you know, we've got people killing each other in the streets. We don't hear about it that much in Oregon. But if you live in Chicago, it's mayhem. Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, New York City. This is wrong. Why? Because people have turned their hearts from God. And that is the number one issue facing this country. We cannot legislate morality, but by golly, we can talk about it and encourage people that if they're not happy with the direction their lives are going and they haven't included God in their lives, they might want to take a look. And that's how my campaign's going. So I'm going to let you guys get and so I showed how I am. This is me. And let me close with this. We were asking, like Oswego, would you compromise under any circumstances? And if so, what and why? My answer was this. I will never compromise on the core values of who I am. I cannot go against who I truly am. I will negotiate. My background in real estate, I've learned how to negotiate. To find that common ground, and we have a lot more in common than what we don't, and I know how to find that common ground and negotiate so that we come up with solutions that are going to be beneficial to all concerned. And that is my goal, but I will never compromise on the core of who I really am.
Do you have your core values listed on your website?
On my core values, my promise is listed on my website, and the promise says that we will read every bill. My staff and I will read every bill before I vote on it. It has to pass the three-way test. It has to be constitutional. It has to be in alignment with the Constitution and what was intended by the founders. It has to be a single-issue bill, free of pork barrel spending, unnecessary projects. And it needs to be socially and fiscally conservative. So I am a social conservative, and that's where my core values lie. It's in my face. It may be in there somewhere in my bio that talks about my
faith. The reason I ask is I would be going to your website to find out more about who you are. And not necessarily who you are politically, because, you know, you're going to tell me that every time you speak to me. Every time you
So.
But I would like to go to your website to find out who you are.
Yes, it is on our website.
Okay.
Well, I can take a look and let me know. You know, it's really hard because I put almost all the content on the website is what I've written. And so sometimes what I see and what other people see are not the same thing. And so just like that person who said, hey, you don't say anything about the defense of marriage on here. And it's like, wow, I missed that. Another issue. So I don't ever have a problem with somebody asking me, and we'll put it on the website. Because, you know, sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees because you're in the middle of it. And so if it's not there, let me know. We'll put it in there.
I guess, that's what I'm saying is, you know, if it's not there, put it there.
Well, closing, I'll let you go here, Joe, because I know you got things to do. One thing I will say, since I've gotten to know you, is that being the fact that you're working on a very limited budget, you know, you're not one of those ritzy people out there running for office, you are working your tail off like crazy. And the list that you gave on all your appearances and how hard you're working, to me, that says a lot right there. This is the type of person I want to represent, that, you know, somebody's getting out there and really doing it, not just relying on the cash.
Thank you, Robin. That means a lot. And if people do want to give to the campaign, they can do that through the website as well, even if it's only $5. I know times are hard for a lot of people. My husband is a carpet installer. Not installing carpet, we don't have money coming in. So we know what it's like. And being a mainstream American, I know what it's like. My backing isn't coming from doctors and attorneys. It's coming from people who work in mills, who are retirees, who are just dissolves the earth, really. So if anybody says, wow, this is the person who's really got a solid conviction of what we need in D.C., I humbly ask for financial help. Right now, to be honest, I can't even afford to buy field signs or yard signs. Money's not in the account. And we won't go into debt for the campaign. So we're paying, virtually everything is being paid for as we go. I order brochures, they're paid for at the time. Business cards, they're paid for at the time. So that's how we operate. Very rarely will I step out and spend money that I don't expect to be in the account. So if somebody wants to donate some money so I can order, get some field signs to put along the freeway, would be awesome. They're at about $50 a sign. So my goal was to get 100 signs. That's $5,000. So anybody that's got it on their heart, feel free to donate. It will not go unnoticed. So, well, I'm going to let you go because I think I'm going to hit dead zone here in just a minute.
All right. Joe Ray Perkins running for U.S. Senate. Again, thank you for coming on the program, Joe Ray. And, again, check her out, Joe Perkins, for USSenate.com. And if I got that wrong, I'll put a link on the website.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you for that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. So there you go.
Yes.
Perkins for USSenate.com. It's PERKINSFORUSSenate.com. And check out the website because it's really cool because I'm working on it.
Something's got to be cool about it.
Yes. No, but in all seriousness, that she listed, recently what I was talking about on her Facebook page, where she's been the last month, and she's been working really, really hard and literally doing it on pennies because, they're not wealthy, they're not like the competition. And, whether you agree with the philosophies or not, you got to look at the fact that, she's working hard. She's not taking a losing attitude towards it. And that, to me, that's got to say a lot,
That's all that counts.
Yeah.
You got to believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, don't bother.
Exactly. So I don't see her as a quitter. 646-721-9887, 16 minutes remaining in the program. If you'd like to comment on this or anything else we've been talking about, and if you have any questions for Joe Ray or for us, by the way, you can send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. We'll be happy to forward those questions to her or answer any questions that you have that we can, including why Cliff's name is only spelled with one F.
Yes. Well, it is only one F, Clifton.
Yes.
See, it's not. My name is not Clifford. It is Clifton, and that's C-L-I-F-T-O-N. So it's only one F. That's why.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's nothing ominous about it, or ominous. It's just real simple. That's who I am,
yeah.
Ready or not.
Well, so much for those emails. Anyway,
let's do a little bit about the Oso thing or Darrington thing about the huge landslide that's going on, deadly mud. These people are desperately trying to dig out. We've got 17 people that have been in there that are died and have come out dead, but there's still up to 90 people missing. And so they've got 90 people that they're searching for. And the bad part is, we're having not the best weather around here, but they're having horrible weather up there too. In Darrington, there's lots of rain and there was mud already, and if you just add rain to it and on top of it, it's just muddier. And we're talking about mud that's as much as 50, 60 feet deep in places. And it's impossible to find people. Well, you can't just step down in the mud and look for somebody. You have to put plywood over it or something over it, something that's big and flat and will hold you up. And so this is a desperate place. that they're in at the moment. And they did spend, a minute of silence today at 10 o'clock this morning, because it's exactly one week since the actual slide itself happened. But we're talking about huge displacement of people and land. I mean, this is a huge thing. It's a mile wide and a mile deep. That's a lot of earth to come sliding down and mess up your day, let's tell you.
Well, and speaking of, is that we were talking earlier about earthquakes. I was just counting how many, my mouse just died. I have backup mice.
That's great. You better have bunches.
In California, this one area counted 17 reported areas, all within I don't know how big an area, a three-kilometer area, roughly. So it's, the world's falling apart, literally.
Well, you're wondering, because at this particular point, what is happening? Something, it might be, I think, something is about to really major happen in the United States, because we've got bunches of earthquakes again in downtown L.A. We've got earthquakes up here. We've got earthquakes up by one of the mountains, and we've got an awful lot going on. The earth is moving, and I know it does this all the time, but I get the impression perhaps we're on the brink of something big going on. We're calling some of these things aftershocks, but we're talking about aftershocks that in some cases are bigger than the main earthquake. And just because it's after the first one, they're calling it an aftershock. So I don't know. I'm a little worried about all of this. The Earth is just too fragile to be relied upon at this point. And what do you do when there's an earthquake? You just live through it.
No, yeah. I mean, what can you do?
Well, there's not much you can do. I don't know where you can go to get away from it. I think I'm probably as close to being enough away from it to the job as anybody. And I am up on I live on a hill, not the big hill, but enough of a hill that it's going to have to rain a lot. I mean, it's going to have to rain, 45 feet or so before it gets to me and has a problem. But, I mean, and believe it or not, I look for places like that when I go someplace to live, is because there are certain things that you can't do anything about. One of those is the amount of rain that happens and what it does with it. Places that you wouldn't think of as being affected by too much rain can be, and that's a problem.
Well, and they say, too, that if one of the dams break, like, for example, in this area, in the Willamette Valley in Oregon, in the Eugene area, that if one of the dams breaks, we would be like 17 feet underwater in no time. Or like if there's a tsunami off the Oregon coast, you got like an 8-minute warning, roughly. And what can you do? I mean, if everybody's panicking, you might as well just stay home and float on your car.
Well, and the thing is, with that, it doesn't make much difference where you live. I remember the big earthquake in Alaska. I went down, believe it or not. I was young and stupid and absolutely stupid, and I went down and stood under the Golden Gate Bridge to watch the water rise because of that tsunami. And that's like an idiot. Nothing happened to me, thank God, because I wasn't there at the right time or something. But some people are really stupid,
yeah.
And I guess I'm basically one of those. But, there's Oso, O-S-O. It's a town of approximately 180 people. And it obviously it doesn't exist anymore. Durrington is home to 1,405 people. They're all still there, and the town is still there. But around it, they're lost. And by the way, in case you're interested, Bob Barker. Remember Bob Barker?
Yeah.
In Price is Right? He was born in Durrington.
Huh.
That's just a little aside thing. But there are 14 dead and 76 reports of people missing in that landslide, and that's scary. Just scary.
Exactly. 646-721-9887. Remember, emails go to talk@caribbeanradio.com. For, you know, if you have any questions or any comments, we'd love to hear from you. Most of us.
Yes, absolutely. So.
And if you have a topic that, of interest you'd like us to discuss, too, we'd love to hear from you as well. And again, check out our Facebook page, Caribbean Radio on Facebook. Give us a like, because we need them. I don't know why. Well, actually, I do know why, because the more likes we get, the more we know you like us. The less
yes.
we get, with the, never mind.
By the way, just continuing on a little bit with this OSO thing and the slide and so on, seismic signals were showed three, were two major slides were about 4 minutes apart during Saturday's disaster. So it wasn't just one slide, it was two slides. And the thing is, you don't know when anything like this is going to happen, and you don't know what necessarily the land is like underneath your feet. You don't know how solid it is, how very capable of ranging and living through that slide. So you've got to be careful and decide where you want to live. And maybe you better think about it and look it up and decide if that's where you want to go and if that's where you want to be, because now is the best time to change that if you don't think you're going to make it. It's scary. I mean, I'd be really worried.
I was just like looking, again, this map I'm looking at, by the way, folks, is earthquake.usgs.gov, and it's really kind of interesting, especially watching the pattern developing here in California around Roland Heights, et cetera. And it's kind of like, well, let's see, the earthquake is moving this way. I think I'll go that way.
Well, the thing is, and that's the thing. I lived in California a while, and I lived through a couple of earthquakes down there, and they are scary. But you just don't know what you can do. You don't necessarily know where you can go to get away from them. It's just not that easy to do. You can't decide, because you say you're seeing a pattern. That may not continue. It may change. It may change entirely. And what is something in Snohomish doing with a pattern in L.A.? I mean, how high are we getting it?
What's interesting about this pattern is that it allows you to zoom in down to the street level and be like, it'd be interesting looking at this map and going, hey, that's my house.
Yes, yes. I've looked up my house down there on that map.
That's kind of interesting. Also, I don't know how precise these are, but even still, it's kind of interesting, the fact that they can even do it to begin with.
But actually, they're very precise, because, as I say, I've looked up my house, the house that I lived in when I lived down there, and it was precise, it was exact. I mean, there was no...
Where the earthquakes are being reported.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's probably pretty close. By the way, just real quick here, and I don't know how quick this is, but in response to the tragic events in Oso Durrington, there's a Wild Buffalo magazine is hosting a benefit concert and a silent auction. There's lots of kinds of things going on to... allow you to donate money and have a good time at the same time. The Wild Buffalo concert is at 208 West Holly Street in Bellingham, if you're interested, 746-8733. And there's also another one in Everett that's announced, the V's, to that Tony V's in Everett has announced a benefit from May 9th. That's at Tony's Garage, and that's at 1712 Hewitt Avenue in Everett, phone number 374-3567. And then there's Birdsview. Believe it or not, Birdsview is a city. And the Birdsview Brewery is announcing a big party that they're going to have. And that one is kind of an interesting. Concrete is one of the places I used to live, believe it or not, the great big city of Concrete. And Birdsview Brewery is there. They're at 38302. State Route 20 in Concrete. And there's also another concert and art auction that's being held in the heart of Anacortes. These are quite a ways apart for various different things. But Anacortes, located at the corner of 4th and O in Anacortes. Sidekicks Grill in Everett, Washington, Saturday is the 29th, between 7:30 and closing. They're going to be hosting a night which will include a bake sale, auction, and live music. The proceeds going to the the survivors, I guess we'll call it, 1709 Hewitt Avenue. Anyway, there are others too, but we're running out of time.
And this public service is brought to you by?
By me, I guess. I mean, there's so many things going on, and that's because that's such a good cause, because there's an awful lot of people that are being displaced. I mean, there are thousands of people that are being involved in this, and then there are also thousands of people right now that are working on this particular site. There are thousands of people presently, literally, on the site as we speak, that are digging and trying. And, of course, it's being just completely thwarted by the fact that the rain is coming down, and it's the rain on top of the mud and debris that's already there, the goo, that I guess from what I understand, you can't walk. You just have to walk on boards or something, because if you step down and it go up above your head, because it's deeper than you are.
Wow. So
it's really, really sad to be there. You have to, from what I understand, and believe it or not, somebody said you can't even walk on snowshoes, because snowshoes usually have a web and you'd sink down in. So even if you were walking on snowshoes to get the surface area, you still can't do it. You gotta. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I couldn't imagine. I'm glad I'm not there, to be honest with you. I'd like to be there because I'd like to help out, but I'd want to find a way to help out that doesn't require me to be walking on goo.
Yeah, I'd hate to be a goo walker.
Exactly.
But anyways, we've had a lot of fun, and guess what?
We're running out of time.
We are. In fact, there's six.
Yep.
What's happening next week, Cliff? I hear a rumor that we're coming back.
We'll be here, and I've got some really interesting things to talk about, and maybe you'll wait till next week and we'll tell you about them.
That's right. So you have to stay tuned. It's Cliffhanger with Cliff Hanger.
Well, most of them have to do with local news items, and a couple of them are already happening at this particular point, like what's happening with Flight 7370. I mean, we still got that thing up in the air. Well, not up in the air. It's obviously up in somewhere near ground level. Let's look about that too. See you then.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.